Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Amateur Traveler Podcast, Episode 22.
Welcome to the Amateur Traveler Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Today on the Amateur Traveler Podcast, we're going to talk about adventure travel so tiring it can wear out the strongest person, it can bring smiles to children and tears to adults, and that's just the prices. Today we go to Disneyland.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please store your carry-on luggage under the seat in front of you and or in the overhead bin. Please take your seat and fasten your seatbelts. Also, make sure your seat back and folding trays are in their fully upright and locked position.
Welcome to the show. It's Saturday, December 24th as I record this. My apologies for not putting out a show last week, but the family and I were at Disneyland, and you'll hear more about that in a bit. But first, two news stories for you. The first one comes from USA Today. It's called Strange Trips of 2005. Links to it on the show notes, amateurtraveler.com. A number of different strange stories from 2005, and I'll just read you two. First one, the cat who rated an upgrade. House cat Emily, padded away from her Appleton, Wisconsin home in September, wandered into a shipping container and ended up in a sea container that crossed the Atlantic. A month later, she turned up in Nancy, France. Emily wasn't carrying a passport, but the ID collar around her neck led finders to her owners. After a mandatory month in French quarantine, she was flown home in style. Continental Airlines offered a free business class seat from Paris, which proved to be the cat's meow. Emily looked like a happy traveler as she purred in her owner's arms during a December reunion at the Milwaukee airport. And then here's another bizarre one. Those are some pipes. TV and bathrobes are known to walk out of hotels with pilfering guests. But a British couple checked out of the Globe Hotel near Exeter, England, carting the shower from their room. Police said the theft was unusual, considering the noise and effort it takes to pry an entire shower out of the wall. Take a look at the story. There's more in there that I'm reading. It's just bizarre. The next one is also an odd story. It's from Photos Travel Wire. Oxford Castle, which was formerly a prison for 125 years, is now a luxury hotel. So here's an article called Sentenced to Luxury at the Malmaison Oxford Castle Hotel. When the door to my quarters in Oxford Castle shut, I settled on the bed and wondered whether any famous criminals had occupied the chamber before me. Earlier this month, following sympathetic refurbishment by a British-owned Malmaison Group, the former penitentiary underwent a dramatic transformation into a plush boutique hotel. Gone are the crashing sounds of slamming cell doors and the heavy flat-footed steps of guards on patrol. In their place are the soft tread of polished staffers making their way along carpeted corridors, the aroma of afternoon teas being served in former prisoners' visiting room, and the scent of fresh-cut flowers standing in attention in chic modern arrangements. You can read more about that again in the show notes. And now, Chris, you've finished reading the news. What are you going to do now? I'm going to Disneyland. Before I say anything else, I should say that even though I talked about in the introduction Disneyland reducing an adult to tears, especially the prices, Disneyland is something my family and I enjoy. And this particular trip that we just got back from, of 3 days at Disneyland and California Adventure in Southern California, is not our first trip there. I'm not sure exactly how many trips we've made as a family. I would say the kids have been there about 5 times total and have spent numerous days there, and we will go back again. So we're Disney fans, and don't let anything I say make you think otherwise. What this show is going to be about is our experiences, both positive and negative, at the park. It might be a multiple show feature because there's a lot of things to say and a lot of stories to tell. And then also tips for how to handle Disneyland, because Disneyland can take a lot out of you. It can be a difficult part to crack in terms of doing it right. So, in terms of how we got to Disneyland this time, we got there because the people at Disney are very clever marketing people. They sent something out for their 50th anniversary, which was, send us pictures of your time that your family has spent at Disneyland, and we will collect those pictures and put them up as mosaics. And so what they did is, around the park, they had numerous mosaics, some that were maybe 3 feet by 6 feet, and some that were more like 15 feet by 50 feet. Large mosaics that were all composed of little tiny pictures of guests taken over the 50 years that the park has been open. The park's 50th anniversary was this last summer, and they're celebrating it for 18 months. And there are a number of things that are going on that are special for their 50th anniversary, and these mosaics were one of them. So what they did then is they collected these pictures, and then they sent back an email that said, congratulations, you are part of the park history. Your photos are in these 5 mosaics in these locations. Come see. Smart, huh? So we don't really need a big excuse to go to Disneyland anyway. It's something that we enjoy doing. But sure enough, we were able to see, at least in 2 of the 5 mosaics, our pictures. The others would have been too far up to see, even with the binoculars we brought, or obscured by something else. But if you go to Tomorrowland and you go to see the mosaic of Buzz Lightyear, right up there at the top of the black stripe on his shoulder is a picture of my kids and the Turkish exchange student who stayed with us, Yavuz. And if you go to next to the Golden Horseshoe, you'll see a picture of Jesse, and in amongst the pictures in Jesse is a picture of my wife and my daughter with Minnie Mouse at Disney World. So, very clever marketing thing, and just enough of an excuse for us to say, well, we've got to go. So, as you tackle Disneyland, oh, and again, for the 50th anniversary, they are doing special things. They're doing special parades. There are 50th anniversary markers, which is a 50 with mouse ears on it, in almost all the rides. There's one in the landscape of Splash Mountain. There's one in just almost everywhere you look, you'll see those. And they're doing a special fireworks show that's actually quite spectacular, and that deals with some of the history of Disney over the 50 years. In addition to that, this is December, and in December, Disney dresses up for Christmas. And so it has special Christmas parades, and it has special rides. So the Small World ride, which is usually playing It's a Small World, that classic song that most people know, It's a Small World After All, and I know I'm not going to sing it, although I may sing later in the show, is doing Jingle Bells or Christmas music. And I should just say that when I say Christmas music, I mean the Christmas that is the secular Christmas. Most of the songs that you hear in the park, although you might hear some instrumental versions of Christian Christmas songs, most of the songs are going to be Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly and Jingle Bells and those sort of things if you're hearing the lyrics. So just to set expectations appropriately, that's what Disney means by Christmas usually. It's lots of Santas and those sorts of things. So Small World is playing different songs. The characters of the dolls in Small World are dressed up in Christmas themes, so they've redone that. And similarly, the Haunted Mansion at Christmas time is no longer the regular Haunted Mansion ride. It's Nightmare Before Christmas. So it's again a Christmas-themed ride, and different from it is the way it is the other 11 months of the year. Also, after the parade, or after the fireworks, rather, at the end of the evening in Disneyland now, it will snow, which is something that's unusual in Southern California, we'd have to say. So both of these things are going on right now, both things that are special for the 50th anniversary and things that are special for Christmas because of the time of year. So we decided to go to Disneyland. A couple things to know. As you're planning a trip to Disneyland, my suggestion is you first figure out when to go, because if you look at the graphs of when people go to Disneyland, there's quite a difference if you go the week, 2 weeks before Christmas, for instance, versus if you go the week after Christmas. It can be as many as maybe it's 20,000 people 2 weeks before and 70,000 people the week after. And there are no official attendance records for Disney that are published, but there are unofficial guides to Disneyland, and the best of those, I'll have links in the show notes, is the unofficial guide to Disneyland. There's also one for Disney World, which includes those graphs, and there are also other websites like Disney Lies that has park attendance that I'll include links to. But basically, when you go during the year can make a huge difference in terms of what kind of lines you're going to have, but it can also make a difference in terms of how long the park is open. If you go during an off-season, the park is open for a shorter period of time. The park may close at 9 o'clock at night, versus if you go during a busy time, the park may stay open something. When we were there, for instance, it was open from 8 a.m. to midnight. So the time of year makes a big difference in terms of how many crowds you have and in terms of what rides and attractions and parades and such are available. The time period just before Christmas, we'd gone before, tends to be one that's not quite as busy. Yeah, especially if you don't go on the weekend. Now, the first 2 days we were there were a weekend, and they were very crowded. But Christmas Day, for instance, I would recommend avoiding Disneyland. I was talking to somebody who I met who's recently, and she was saying she went to take her parents to Disneyland, and they were visiting from India, so she really wanted to get there while they were here. And they went Christmas Day, and she thought, nobody's going to be going Christmas Day. So they slept in. Rule number one, never sleep in when you're going to Disneyland. We'll talk about that in a minute. They slept in. They got there at 10 o'clock. Christmas Day, they did not get into the park for 3 hours. It was 1 p.m. by the time they made it through the lines to get into the park. So pick your times carefully. Don't go Christmas Day. Don't go for the week between Christmas and New Year's. Don't go spring break, or at least don't go Easter week, which is a more common spring break. And then look at the maps, like in the unofficial Disney guide, to pick your time carefully. If you're going to go want to see it decorated for Christmas, do your shopping early and go the week before Christmas and don't go on the weekends. So pick your times carefully, then get your tickets ahead of time. We saw people at the park at 11 o'clock waiting in long lines outside to get their tickets. Tickets for Disneyland can be purchased ahead of time. If you're getting a 3, 4, 5 day pass, which is what we usually do when we go down and we take a more leisurely pace, the difference between a 3 day pass and a 4 day pass is, I think, $20 a person. Disney's not inexpensive. I think the lowest ticket is something like $60, and a 3 day pass is more than that. It's $120. I'll have to look up the links. I'll put links in the show notes to the current prices. But people were waiting in line for tickets, and they could have gotten that ahead of time. Even if they had gotten into town the night before, and you could go down to Disney and get your ticket. If you're worried about paying for parking, park in downtown Disney. You can park for 3 hours for free. And then walk over and get your tickets, go back to your car, go back to your hotel, go to sleep early, and get to Disneyland early. Find out what time Disneyland opens and get there, preferably even a little ahead of time. You may have some problems. We went to get there early one day, and the regular parking hadn't opened yet. If you buy a 3 or 4 or 5 day pass, your parking at Mickey and Friends parking structure is included in your Disney admission. But the Mickey and Friends hadn't opened yet, so we parked at Downtown Disney, and again, the first hours there are free, but we had to then move the car later on in the day, which is something that's not so great. But we had gotten there about a half hour early. So when you get there early, then you get to be one of the first people in the park. They greeted us with a marching band, characters there to say hi to the kids and get pictures taken. But you get a chance to go on the rides before the park gets crowded. The first day we were there, one of the Disney attendants, one of the Disney cast members, sorry, they're not employees, which I was about to say, one of the Disney cast members is in their terminology, estimated that there were 70,000 people there, and that's pretty much as many people as fit in Disneyland. You can have days that might have more than that, but 70,000 is a pretty full day. He was estimating that the second day was more like 55,000 to 60,000, and it was less crowded. But with 70,000 people in the park, by 10 o'clock, the lines are getting long, or starting to get long and everything. Basically, Space Mountain, which recently opened, we saw the lines as we went over there at about 8:30 in the morning, go from 30 minutes to 60 minutes over the course of the 2 minutes that we're walking up to Space Mountain. So go early because the lines are going to get long, but certainly by 10 o'clock. So that's rule number one. And rule number two is don't feel like you have to be there the whole day. If it's open from 8 a.m. to midnight and you have a three-day pass, especially if you go in the summertime when it gets hot and sticky and tiring, what we used to do, especially with small kids, is we'd get there early, we'd have eaten before we got to the park, or we'd pick up cinnamon rolls from the bakery in downtown, the Downtown Disney, the night before, and then we would be ready at the gate. We wouldn't go down and eat breakfast right away and waste time to that. We'd get to the rides that we wanted to do, and then when it got crowded, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, started getting hot, because we'd go in the summertime, we'd go back to the hotel, we'd take a nap, we'd get a swim in the pool, and then we'd come back later in the evening when people were wearing out and the lines were getting shorter again. And again, you can ride more rides with less time waiting in the mornings or in the evenings. And the heat of the day in the summertime is something you may just want to avoid. So, when you get there, rule number three, love the Fast Pass. The way that Disney works, for those of you who haven't been there, and I don't understand why, for those of you who haven't been there, Disney has a Fast Pass system. First of all, Disney changed, I'm not sure when, probably in the 1970s, from a ticket system to the system that you have at most parks now, which is you pay an admission, rather a large admission, we'd have to say, and then you get to ride on all the rides. In the early 60s, when I first went, you got A tickets, B tickets, C tickets, D tickets, and E tickets, and different rides were worth different tickets. So, for instance, the Matterhorn, which would have been one of the better rides at the time, was an E-ticket ride, and you still hear, at least in California, the terminology of, well, that was a real E-ticket. Disneyland doesn't have that anymore. You pay one admission, and then you can ride any ride you want, but some rides are more popular than others. If you get a guide, like the Unofficial Guide to Disneyland, it talks about the science of rides at Disneyland. Some rides are continuous loading rides. Rides like the Pirates of the Caribbean, rides like the Haunted Mansion, more particularly, where they load people constantly, and therefore they're very efficient in terms of how many people they move through. Some rides, like Dumbo, which is more of a traditional carnival ride, they get people seated on there, and then they start the ride, it runs for a few minutes, and then they stop it and they get everybody off. And it's very slow. If your kids really want to do Dumbo, and really that's predominantly small kids, you better be doing it first thing in the morning, because that line will get very long. So know your rides. Know what you want to do. Do a little study ahead of time. And again, the Unofficial Guide is a great resource for that. And then use your Fast Passes. And the way the Fast Pass system works is, we showed up, for instance, the third day we were there in the morning to Space Mountain. And Space Mountain is one of the most popular attractions. They've just redone it. It's faster, it's smoother, it's darker, it's scarier. And we went to the Space Mountain line, and it says your standby time is, and as I said, as we walked up, it went from 30 minutes, 45 minutes, now it's 60 minutes is your standby time. And then there's a second set of times, and says, or you can get a Fast Pass if you come back at 10:50 to 11:50. That's the Fast Passes we're giving out right now. And you go in this separate line, you put in your ticket, and you get back Fast Passes. And those are your shortcut tickets. Basically, they're wanting to give people the option of making sure they get on the rides they want to get on, a certain number, a small number. They will set aside during every hour a certain number of fast pass tickets. And when that hours are unavailable, then the fast pass tickets that are being given out are for the next hour. Now, by 11 o'clock in the morning, the fast passes they were giving out on Space Mountain were for 9 o'clock at night. But if you got one of those at 9 o'clock at night when you came back, you would avoid an hour's worth of line and turn it into a 5-minute line by using the fast pass. So what we did is, instead of getting on the line for Space Mountain for an hour, we looked and said, Fastpass time is 9:50. It's almost an hour from now. We will go get our Fastpass, and we will ride two more rides while we're waiting for our Fastpass time, and then we'll go on Space Mountain and take only 5 minutes. So if we had waited in the line, we'd have ridden one ride. If we took the Fastpass in the same period of time, we rode three. So even though we were on a day that had 70,000 people, we never waited in a line more than 10 or 15 minutes. And most of the lines we did were shorter. Rule number four, on some rides, you can also do single riders. And that's a useful trick to know. So for instance, we've done that on Splash Mountain before, where when the kids are old enough to ride by themselves, and they were interested in doing it, rather than wait in the very long line that can wind around Splash Mountain, go to the single rider area. I'm not sure if they were doing that this time. We didn't check because it was very short when we went through. And get in the single rider line, which is much, much shorter, and then you don't go together. You don't get that one picture that has all of you. That's what you're giving up. But you may be in a 5-minute line instead of a 1-hour line. We also did that in California Adventure on Soar Over California. Basically, the line was 45 minutes, but we went in the single rider line, and we each were out in about 5 minutes. Now, we didn't ride together, but in that particular ride, there's no picture of you all there together, and there's no particular reason, as long as you're not having small children, that you have to necessarily ride together. You can talk about it afterwards. You all did the same ride. And getting back to fast passes for a minute, there's two things I forgot to mention. One is, if the time on your fast pass says 9:50 to 10:50, that fast pass is not good until 9:50, but is good for the rest of the day. You don't have to use it before 10:50. You can use it at 11 o'clock. You can use it at 9 p.m. It's not obvious. Not everybody knows it. You can't miss your fast pass window by not getting there in time. So you don't have to hurry back necessarily if you're on some other ride that you want to do. The other thing you should know is, if you, for instance, you really want to ride the ride and you get on the fast pass line at 11 a.m. and it's very, very popular and they're not giving out fast passes till 9 p.m., right, which would be 10 hours later, you can get another fast pass in 2 hours. So at 1 p.m. you could go to another ride and get a fast pass. And not every ride, again, has fast pass, but the popular rides will have them, like, well, the popular and the larger attractions, like Space Mountain, Indiana Jones, the Splash Mountain ride will have a fast pass, the Roger Rabbit cartoon spin in Toontown will have a fast pass, but Small World won't, and Matterhorn won't, and the Jungle, well, I think the Jungle Cruise actually does. So plan out which rides, the bigger rides, try and do them with fast pass, and do the other rides while you're waiting in between your fast passes, and avoid some of those bigger lines. The lines for Space Mountain when we were there got up to 2 hours long. There's just no point in waiting in a 2-hour line, and you don't need to. That's if you use the system the way they've set it up. The other thing to be aware of is where the crowds are going to go. And again, this is someplace where the unofficial guide can be a real good help in terms of understanding the crowds and what happens the first thing in the morning. The first thing in the morning, the crowds run to the bigger attractions. Indiana Jones used to be the most popular one. Now that they've redone Space Mountain, they're running to that particular attraction. And those lines will get longer sooner. But other parts of the park, like Toontown, which is way in the back, won't get crowds until a little later. It takes a little long time to get there, and it may not open until an hour after the park opens. in Toontown is an opportunity to go into Mickey's house and Minnie's house and potentially have your picture taken if you're a big Disney fan. I was going to say if you're kids. One thing I should say is when we go to the park, I arrive with a larger number of kids than we left home with, because there's nothing that can turn an adult into a five-year-old faster than Disneyland can. So when you go to Disneyland and you go to Toontown, you may want to have your picture taken with Mickey, who's almost always can be found in Mickey's house in Toontown in the cartoon barn in the back. And there can be a fairly long line in the middle of the day to get in to see Mickey. But if you go first thing in the morning before the crowds make it all the way back to that part of the park, if you're interested in having your picture taken, it may only take 5 minutes. And later on in the day, it may easily take an hour. And also cartoon spin, the line will be much longer late in the day. If you do it first thing, there's just no line at all. You don't even need a fast pass because people haven't made it to that part of the park yet. So sometimes it will behoove you to do the park backwards, to do the park from back to front, as people are normally following the normal pattern from the main gate into the park. So plan your activities somewhat around where people are going to be. The other thing we found sometimes is that later on in the day, when there are fireworks, and the fireworks are sometime like 9 o'clock, I think they were 9:30 or so when we were there, that places near the fireworks will start to empty out. So Star Tours in Tomorrowland may have almost no line at all right around the time of the fireworks. So if you've seen the fireworks one night, then the next night maybe you should go to Star Tours or something like that, and you may find no line whatsoever there. But be aware, there's another show that's going on in the evenings, and that's over in Frontierland. And I'll put links to maps for those of you who are not familiar with Disneyland so you can have some idea of where I'm talking about. Over in Frontierland on the River of America, there's a big show called Fantasmic that's going on. You ought to see it once. And it's got fire, it's got pirates, it's got smoke, it's got holograms, it's got lasers. It's quite the show. But people will reserve seats for hours ahead of time, an hour or two ahead of time. And that trying to get through that area later on in the evening is going to become much more difficult, and you just should be aware of that. And if you're not going to the show, that's a part of the park you may just want to avoid later on in the evening, or if you've gone the night before. And there are two shows a night during times when the park is open till midnight. At least there are two shows of Fantasmic, and you can't be really both in a prime location to watch Fantasmic and in a prime location to watch the fireworks. To watch the fireworks, you want to be right in front of Cinderella's castle, Sleeping Beauty's castle? I think it's Sleeping Beauty's castle in Disneyland, and between that and Main Street to watch the fireworks. And so they really have it set up so that there's too much going on for you to see everything at the same time. So that's some of our strategy. Oh, the other thing, one other strategy on paying things. Food in the park. It's worthwhile saying a little something about food in the park. It's not all that great. It's a lot better than it used to be, and there is more variety. It's very expensive. One thing that they don't prominently display, but you should ask about, is a AAA discount. Many of the restaurants have a AAA discount. If you happen to have a AAA card at the American Automobile Association, you can save money on the food at the park. So that concludes my first of two shows, I think, on Disneyland. And this one I'm going to call Disneyland Strategy. Now, next one I'm going to get into Disneyland stories. And there's still just a lot of stories to tell about just my own experiences there. And I'm also looking for your stories. So if you get a chance, go over to the amateurtraveler.com and drop me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com, or post a comment, or call me at the Amateur Traveler comment line. I've got two numbers for you. One is 408-512-1083, and the other is 646-257-3965. Also, feel free to contact me on Skype or Gizmo Project and let me know. Let me know your experiences. I'd love to share some of them when I do that section next week. In the internet resources, I'm just going to put a number of internet resources on the show notes for Disney and for sites that I've seen that are useful for Disney, and I'm not going to go into them now on this for time reasons. So if you're interested in some of the sites that I've used for planning, as well as links to some of the official sites, I'll put those on the show notes. And with that, I'll close it off with a song. And this song is by... No, that can't be right. That's my name. I'm actually going to close the show with an original composition. And I'll warn you before I do that, since this is December 21st, this is a Christmas song. And I understand that some of you are not celebrating Christmas. And for whatever you're celebrating, I wish you Happy Hanukkah or Happy Holidays or whatever is appropriate. But Christmas is what's celebrated in this house. And so this is a Christmas song. And so if you're not interested in that, thanks very much for listening. And you can tune out now. And if you are listening still at this point, this is a song called Amen. It's from a series of a cappella songs that I've written in an album appropriately named Rough Cut. Very little instrumentation on the album, as well as all the voices, and this song includes a 1.3-part harmony are mine. So with that, for those of you who are still listening, I wish you Merry Christmas, and here is Amen from the album Rough Cut.
God, he chose to have a son, and Mary was the chosen one, and Joseph knew it wasn't him. All God's people say amen, amen. 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 All God's people say amen. Shepherds in their fields that night, sky lit up with heaven's light, and angel choirs did sing of him. All God's people say amen, amen. 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 All God's people say amen. Wise men, they did travel far, following the brightest star, and kingly gifts they brought to him. All God's people say amen, amen. All God's people say amen, amen. All God's people say amen, amen, amen. All God's people say amen, amen. All God's people say amen. Lying in a stable stall, he who is the king of all, and born to free us from our sin. All God's people say amen, amen. All God's people say amen, amen. All God's people say amen, amen, amen. All God's people say amen, amen, amen. All God's people say amen. All God's people say amen. All God's people say amen.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Have a nice day. Goodbye now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.